Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Was that the worst WWE segment of the year? I'm Ollie Davis, this is Luke Cohen. Welcome to Wrestle Ramble. And last night on Raw, we had that big payoff to the interview segment where Bobby Lashley looked into the camera and was like, I'm not a killer, I'm not walking Armageddon, I'm a family man. And I love my three sisters. Then Sami Zayn said last week, I'm going to expose the truth behind Bobby Lashley's family. And that truth happened to be three men dressed up as women, I mean, like, but weirdly women from the 19th century, and Sammy said, you know, is this true? And they would be like, no, Bobby bullied us when we were kids. They're obviously not Bobby's sisters. That's the joke. And Lashley comes out and plays it all off for laughs and then beats them up. It is being hailed as the worst thing of the year already by multiple news outlets. I think it's quite a comfortable winner. But before we get into that, what's different, man?
What do you mean?
Well, you look, you've got the beard, I guess. I just feel like there's something different about you today, Luke.
I've been taking cod liver oil.
Cod liver oil?
Yeah, they say it's quite good for you. I guess you're just seeing the sort of results of that.
Is that like, did you just start it last night and then
you
woke up?
Yeah, I've just been chugging whole bottles.
A whole bottle of cod liver oil? That is, not the nicest substance that
it was quite gross to get down, but, you know, obviously it's paid dividends.
In one sitting?
Yeah, one sitting. That's
like
it.
Two bottles of...
Yeah.
But of course, like, you're...
Not sponsored by them or anything.
Yeah, and the concept of cod liver oil. I mean, you didn't say a brand name. So
cod liver oil, I assume, is a...
But the... Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah,
because
right?
You've got... And that made tattoos happen.
Yeah.
And
the hat. I've got a hat, though.
Yes.
So I've got...
This is my hat, Luke.
So, yeah.
I mean, and you're unhappy to be missing out on your holiday? I got your phone call earlier.
Well, yeah, you know, I thought I'd much rather be...
Just cancelled
in this
last
small
minute.
Space talking about Raw.
And Bobby Lashley's sisters. So we're back onto it. Yeah. So what did you think of this, and where do you think Bobby's going to go from here? Definitely Luke Owen.
Hopefully away.
I think
for the whole thing, just away. Let's just get rid of it all, because it was so bad. It was Sami Zayn comes out dancing in his crazy fashion. You think, okay, maybe he's got something interesting here.
I had hope,
and
too.
he sold it a bit at the beginning. He was like, I'm into it. And as soon as he picked up the mic, and as soon as he invited the sisters out, he was suddenly like flat,
yes.
And he just did not look like he wanted to be there at all.
I picked up on that as well. There were a few shots of Sammy where he, particularly when Bobby comes out, where Sammy just, I mean, he makes gold out of a lot of stuff. And he's handed not the best material in the world on a weekly basis. But this seemed to be one step too far for him. Because his face was just like, yeah.
I think the fact that even the three sisters themselves weren't particularly selling it. Like, the two on the ends were both doing girls' voices, just hello, no, and then the one in the middle was just talking, like, as if, like, completely
the mustachioed
normally,
one.
Yes, the mustachioed sister.
I mean, I guess, like, if you were to approach this from, if the joke worked, that would be funny, right? Because a lady has the voice of a man.
But then also jokes you normally do, the sort of power of three thing with a joke, where you go two straight things and then the joke.
Sure, so you would have...
You don't do the joke in the middle and then go, let's go back to the original thing where this guy's just going like, hello again.
So the first two sisters would have overly high-pitched voices. The last one would just be a really deep voice, man.
Yeah, I'm not saying it would be better. I'm just saying it wouldn't be worse.
It would be, yeah, it would. Yeah, okay, that's a good way of putting it.
It physically cannot be worse, so that's fine. That's all you can do. There's some physics there that doesn't quite work out.
You said Lashley needs to go away. I've seen a few people say on Twitter and everything, he needs to go back to NXT. He was never in NXT, first off.
He could go to NXT.
But how ridiculous is that? You've got this legit MMA guy with such an impressive physique. I mean, I think he's 40. He's in his 40s at least. So he hasn't got a huge amount of time left where he can sustain that kind of physique. And you, WWE, within the space of... This isn't like Bobby Lashley's been around for ages on WWE television recently.
No, this is like months, isn't it?
It's a month and a half. It's not even a month.
Oh my God.
He came back the night after WrestleMania, which was, what, like the 10th of April, I think.
The problem is he's just not quite got a personality. And I know they tried to give him a headband for a bit, as if that would be a personality.
That's a strong look, yeah.
And that, you know, that's a strong look on a man with a bald head who does not need a sweatband, because there's just nothing there to... but then you've got... There's nothing else to him. He can hold people up for a really long time. Great. But it's not even like... It's a suplex, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, that's just a normal move, and I don't think the blood rushing to their head sells this idea that it's this crazy thing. He just... Yeah, he looks impressive, but I don't think he's got anything else really, like, going for him. And then trying to sell him as a, you know, family man just makes him sound even more boring. It was what they were doing with Roderick Strong in NXT, that kind of, like, family man vibe for a while, but it kind of worked for Roddy because he was an underdog. Whereas Lashley is like a super athlete. So you can't really go, he's a super athlete and he's also really like clean cut and he's really nice and there's nothing wrong with him. So instead we're going to have Sami Zayn come out and say, yeah, but his family thinks he's a div. Like, you know.
Well, you're right. The character they're trying to give Bobby isn't suited to the way Bobby looks. Like, people just want to see him walk in and kill people. Whereas, like, actually, Sami Zayn... This might work with not having the three sisters, but I'm sure Sammy could speak more genuinely and openly from the heart about loving his family.
Mm.
Not that Bobby Lashley doesn't love his family, but WWE have a way to make everything feel scripted.
Yeah, that's absolutely. So
The way the rest of the segment played out was Bobby comes out and he's smiling a lot.
That was so weird.
That was really annoying. Like, one salvageable way for this would be for Bobby to be like, no mate, and kill everyone including Sammy, but he played it off like he's like he has the charisma of The Rock.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he should have just walked out in silence and just run down to the ring,
death stare,
yeah, not said anything and just torn through all of them.
Or yeah, like one by one, picks up the first one, destroys them, and Sammy's like, oh no, wait, stop there, and he moves on to the second, you know, that power of three.
Yes,
thing again.
That would be good.
I mean, there's multiple ways to do this better.
We're also doing more than sort of just, you know, even when he did start actually beating them down, he just did threw a couple of awkward punches, a couple of clotheslines, and then they were trying to go for the joke of like, she's got this helmet and she's got this towel, and he's using all of these little doodads to sort of put the beat down on them. But he puts the helmet on, and he just, you know, knocks it on the head and whips someone with a towel. And why was the towel brown? But it was a white towel.
I'm sure.
What
Vince
was the
McMahon
what was the sort of visual? What
funny.
Was the visual joke there that they were trying to do? Because it was that also was just so dubious.
Yeah, at least the other things you can kind of find the joke they were attempting that just didn't play out. How do you feel about the armored hat or helmet as they're called?
The helmet, the armored hat.
The armored hat,
like this one. This is the under armored hat.
A lot of people have pointed out, me included, that would actually protect you from a punch better than from someone clobbering you in the top of the head.
Mm.
Like, that's the point of a helmet, right?
Well, that it would protect you.
Yeah, like, you would want... Ideally, if someone's going to punch you in the head or you were going to sustain a blow to your head, you would want a helmet to protect yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So why would Bobby put on the helmet on the person?
And then knock it on... Because, they'd said in the sort of mythos of this Bobby Lashley family that they've started trying to do, that... He actually just used to knock them on the head, didn't he? And they bought the helmet for that, but then actually he knocked so hard on the helmet that it hurt more for them wearing the helmet.
That's a good point. I mean,
it's science. It's basic science, Ollie.
It's that has some level of consistency, I guess. One of the, I think it was Kathy, not a good wrestler. she couldn't get over that. She couldn't get over the top rope. You know, when Bobby throws him out, yes, and then she got sort of kind of caught on the
that,
rope.
Yeah, there. That was unfortunate.
Yeah. So it was. It
I
was.
I think she was probably tangled in her own skirts.
Yeah.
Someone unused to wearing the garb of a fishwife.
Ha ha! It's a Raw review. Looking jacked, man.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But it didn't start off bad. I actually rather enjoyed the opening hour of Raw, which just seemed to be one entire segment. Like, it had one through line.
Yeah, it made sense as well. It's like, it was nice to see Steph come back out and start. I like seeing Steph.
I wouldn't go that far.
I like seeing Steph, and I think she's really good.
Okay, well, this is the first pretension.
I enjoy the...
I'm just
going to
move
you mean?
Your mic.
Go on.
There you go.
What do you mean the first bit of tension? We have this sort of tension all the time.
I just mean like the new Luke, because you're a new transformed man.
Fine, yes.
Maybe the cod liver oil.
Maybe
has
it was. It's got my blood up.
Yeah. Because you don't know how that. You don't know the ramifications of massively altering your body chemistry is going to have.
Mm.
I'll be roided out eventually tomorrow.
I'll look like Jinder Mahal tomorrow. Not green, obviously.
Yeah, it's different.
But like veiny.
He's Canadian.
Mm.
Don't know what ethnicity you were thinking of. And so, yes, this started off with Kurt Angle coming out, doing his floppy wrist thing.
Yep.
And then Stephanie came out, which was, you know, I have heard that entrance music multiple times that day. And I'm sure you did as well, recording the music video. How do you feel that went down, by the way?
The music video?
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic.
You happy with that?
Yes, I thought it was a starring role. I hopefully will go on to... bigger and better things.
You want to do more different? What would be?
I
the
want to do more
one?
Sort of. Well, I feel like this was the sort of trial run. I'll do something less lame next time.
Well, it is bestowed on you by the SWAF Nation. They will choose your punishment. But that's not choose to say that you can't just, you know, come up with music tracks by yourself.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I have none prepared before you ask.
So, yes, Stephanie McMahon comes out, and this, I think it's her first appearance since the Ronda Rousey
armbar thing after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
After WrestleMania.
Yes, so this is only a month and a half since, and they've been playing up on commentary a lot that Stephanie's had to go into rehab and she's really injured her arm. It has been a month and a half, and a broken arm could heal by then, but wouldn't it have been better if she had like a sling and she was still selling stuff?
Yeah, not like a sling, but at least like a brace or something. Like something more like, you know, let's drop the suit jacket and go with like a sort of something that just sells it a little bit more.
If this was Vince, he'd be in a wheelchair coming out with like Pat Patterson next to him, well, helping him to the ring.
Yeah, but also because she didn't seem that fussed later on, not to jump too far ahead, when Ronda came out.
Yeah.
Like there wasn't, you know, she wasn't like visibly frightened of Ronda, even though Ronda did a little... Hi, Steph, kind of, you know, she tried to play up the sort of like, I've really bullied you. Hi, Steph.
Is that Ronda's
voice? That's what she did. That's what she went.
What do you think of Ronda's acting style?
Terrible. Oh, it's robotic, isn't it? It's robotic to the point of almost being a sort of Schwarzenegger sort of vibe.
I really want to like it. But your impression of it just then is far superior to what she did. Can we just overdub your Ronda voice?
I'm going to take your title, And your arm.
Yeah, that felt so long for her to say that, like she was on half speed.
She does everything like she's an anime character, though, in her head. Like, yeah. That's what I feel like. She delivers every single thing, like the huge point,
yeah.
This, like, and your arm. And she's expecting, like, her hair's go in the breeze that's just turned up. I don't know.
Well, there is a disconnect that she has all these great movements, but it's just not backed up by her voice and excitement. There is quite flat. But back to Stephanie, she is back, and she was here to tell Kurt Angle. Apparently, Kurt Angle's been making emotional decisions rather than decisions based on business, which I don't. It's not really a storyline I buy into.
No, I think he's been doing plenty of non-business sort of. Well, I mean, he's been doing he's been doing things that you would everyone assumes are for the business, like giving all Roman Reigns the chances, like that kind of thing to fans. I guess it's that discrepancy between what WWE think and what the fans actually sure. think, and what they think they're doing when they do something. So they think that giving Roman Reigns loads of chances is an emotional decision that someone else in the company is making, when actually it's a business decision because no one likes it. Or people audibly dislike it.
Yes.
And every week when he comes out, they have to go, and the WWE Universe are out for Roman Reigns. Yeah, but what noise are they making?
It's a reaction.
They're out here. There's noises.
He always gets a reaction.
He does always get a reaction.
There are so many noises.
I mean, he always gets a reaction because it's the same one every single time.
Yes.
Although he didn't sound so booed this week.
Well, that's because I guess that's packaging him against Stephanie and with Rollins. Like, every time you bring back that Shield
yes.
dynamic.
But before we knew that Rollins was involved, I think yes. even his entrance there, he got that little bit of, like, you know, a yeah. little bit of leeway for once.
So Reigns does come down in this segment to... It was kind of like Stephanie mentioned his name. This was after Stephanie said to Kurt that he needs some guidance from her.
Yes.
So this was her emasculation thing, and Kurt had to stand there like... Yes, Stephanie, I do need your guidance. And it's like, okay, you're still telling this story, fine, but what was WrestleMania? Kurt, I thought, Kurt, you broke out of the Stephanie McMahon thing.
You're straight back in. I guess I think they didn't really have an end game for that. That story was much more about Ronda.
Yeah.
And I just don't think they ever really had an end game where that was ever going to change the status quo of what Raw is, because they just want to have... You have to have a heel, and you have to have a face in that sort of scenario, and... Angle is the face and Stephanie is the heel, and she's always going to do the sort of Machiavellian I'm playing off and just power playing for no reason, like when she takes this the signing off of him for Nia and Ronda. So she goes, I'm going to do that because you can't handle it.
And his office.
Yeah, and his office, which, I mean, I guess they change office every week, so...
Wasn't another room in the building.
Yeah, they say it's an office, but it's like, it's a changing room, isn't it, really? Like, I don't know.
With a like a movie poster and maybe a WWE magazine.
Yes, and then obviously later on when we saw it, she had a little Vince, like, it was like it was his wake. And I got hopeful for a second. I was like, is this it?
we're not wishing death upon anyone. I'm just hoping directions of companies.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm just hoping that someone else is taking over.
A less mean way.
Yeah, I mean, he could also retire. I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, retire would be best case scenario.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than death. So Reigns comes out when his music hits after Stephanie sort of references him, and he just is doing the usual moaning stuff about where's my Universal Championship shot, and Stephanie points out, well, you know, you did lose all those shots before. And then they said something about Jinder Mahal, and I felt like that's when Kevin Owens was meant to come out. But then yes. Reigns just, there's an awkward pause after Stephanie says, what do you get, like, what have you done with Jinder Mahal? And Reigns just goes, I already did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, because he also said, like, and you don't want me anywhere near the Money in the Bank, don't you? And he was like, and then they said, oh, you already had a shot. And obviously Jinder ruined it for you. So it was that kind of like, and then, yeah, he did sort of, I already did.
Yeah.
He's an awkward guy on the mic sometimes. And yeah. And then Owens came out and, was actually quite fun on the mic, I thought.
Always is.
I always enjoy a bit of Kevin Owens.
Sure.
And I enjoyed him even trying to start the Thank You Roman chant to nothing.
Like, but what a way... I mean, I thought he got heat there.
Yeah.
Like, what an ingenious... That's how good Owens is. What an ingenious way to get heat as a heel by getting the crowd to cheer the babyface. And that's what... That shows how backwards... The dynamics are in good guy and bad guy for WWE's main event scene. But yeah, that thank you Roman chant was pretty good. And then Owens, I thought, you know, nicely brought up these, or, you know, Stephanie isn't emotional. She does what's good for business, even though I tried to effectively kill or retire, whatever Luke wants, her dad Vince.
Minor slip there.
They take... Was that your Ronda voice?
Yeah, minor slip there.
Minor slip there, Stephanie.
I'll take your arm and then your job.
That Stephanie had the business foresight to bring Owens to Raw. And I thought, okay, this is good. Like, they're kind of making Kevin Owens a bit of a main event threat by aligning him with the authority again. And Owens puts his arm on Stephanie's shoulder. Like, we're pals, aren't we? And Stephanie just emasculates
him. Cuts
like
him straight
that.
Down, yeah.
What was the point of that? He's a heel. She's a heel. It's just like not completely buried Owens, but it does not help him in the slightest.
Well, it was the only reason that they had obviously thought of to construct the match. I think it was the flippancy of it, sort of showing that flippancy of Stephanie McMahon to be like, okay, well, he's touched her, she doesn't like it, so she's just gone, you two have a match now.
Mm, I guess so. I think it's more...
It's artifice.
Because Stephanie could always say, hey, now that... And they've done this before. Hey, you're both here. Have a match. So Roman Reigns and Owens started their match, and it was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was... I mean, I didn't enjoy Reigns no-selling a lot of Owens's offence, but I thought that overall the match was quite cool. It was good seeing... It's difficult because you kind of want to see Roman be a bit sort of a beast in this scenario. He's ticked off. He wants to sort of wreck house, and it's a shame seeing Owens be the foil for that mostly. But he got some good little wily bits of heel work in there, like sliding out of the ring a few times, got chased down. I enjoyed the missed drive by on the apron with the super kick. That was really cool. Yeah. So yeah, it was good. But obviously, I think it was just a sort of interlude before the sort of actual. Main portion of this segment.
It was a pretty tasty interlude, though. So the no-selling bit you're talking about, I guess, is that chop.
Yes.
And I haven't seen... Like, Reigns has never done, like, a no-sell bit like that. That's very New Japan-y, but I guess he's got the chest protector on. That was the coolest thing I've seen Reigns do for a while. Maybe because it's new and all the other spots I'm used to. But even though I dislike Reigns' babyface character, when he no-sold that chop, I was like... That was pretty badass.
Yeah, it's just inconsistent, though. I just think that's the... I like it. I prefer it when you sort of... If you're no-selling some things, let's just have a bit more popping up from stuff and looking less injured.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I prefer it to be. Like, Braun Strowman does a lot of that sort of, like, that didn't... That,
complete no-sell,
obviously,
yeah.
But he's gigantic, so what would you do? I guess Reigns is armoured, so that's the other thing. He's basically gone in there in, like, combat gear.
He is cheating.
Yeah, he is cheating.
Combat sport.
He should get onto Bobby Lashley about that helmet, and he could just complete the look, and he'll be indestructible.
Well, the sweatband and the helmet could be a good look for Lashley.
He should try that.
Diamond headbutt.
Sweatband, helmet, and he could ride a broom to the ring.
Incorporating every single object. So where would the brown towel go?
Away again.
Just
away.
You can do those spots where you kind of choke people on the ring post.
He could do the little Cena thing. So he could write different things on the towel every week, and he could come out and do that, and then chuck it into the crowd.
I feel like most of the suggestions we've had so far have improved Lash's character. This one is bringing it more into crap gimmicks territory.
What, the towel? Which bit of it? The towel or
the
overall aesthetic?
The contrived aesthetic of, having those objects in.
Maybe he could come out born on the backs of his sisters.
Yes.
Like, born aloft, like he's sort of Cleopatra.
Yeah.
No? Okay, fine.
So Jinder Mahal comes in, and he causes a DQ. So Reigns wins that match, technically. And then Seth Rollins comes down to save Roman from the beatdown. And this turned into Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens and Jinder Mahal, which mostly was Roman getting worked over by the heels. But then... What a hot tag.
I know. Rollins is...
When you got here, that was all you wanted to talk to
me
about.
He's absolutely on fire. He's just so good, isn't he? He's just...
He can almost burn it down.
He can almost burn it. He's so fire, he can burn it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then slay kings and also build things.
Yeah.
So it's weird that he burns it down, but he's also the architect.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't make sense.
I guess it does, because he was the architect.
And then he wants to burn it down.
I mean, if you want to entrust someone with... taking down a large building, like, you would probably Demolition expert first. Busy, of all. Yeah. But like maybe someone who understands those foundations.
Well, first of all, I would get in heavy machinery.
Yes, just to sit in it.
Yeah, see how many puns we could build into building this. Take this bit. No, that's not. But he's just on another level. And I know that's part of what the commentary was saying. He's just on another level. But he really is. He delivers everything with such speed. And I don't know, when, like, saying he's suicide dives and he does two, obviously, like, already that's like, wow, he does two. But he does that, everyone else stands in the middle of the ring and they look and they wait for the other person to get up and then they run and do it. He's already just gone every single time. He's just like, okay, I'm going.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll be stood up by the time I get there.
And he adds enough little bits to it each time. Like, I know you said sometimes he does two on one side, sometimes he does two on both sides. This time he did the two on both sides, but even then he added more to it by attacking Kevin Owens on the apron, then he took out Jinder on the other side, and then he did the dives.
Yes.
So just you get more of that Ultimate Warrior, I'm never going to stop running thing to it. He is so good, it does pose the question, why isn't he in a storyline?
Yeah.
Like, this, really, if you look at all the people on Raw, Braun Strowman, Ronda Rousey and Seth Rollins, and maybe Finn Balor, because he has just so many good matches, those are the people you should build the promotion, the brand around. Mm. Braun isn't in a storyline, really. I guess he's in Money in the Bank, but there's no real feud there.
No, that's just, like, some guys.
Yeah.
Who aren't even on the, like, you're not even all on the same brand, just chucked in the thing. So, you know, it doesn't even, you know.
And Seth Rollins, he's just the Intercontinental Champion.
I think, but that's, I guess, you know, I guess they're doing the shtick of he's a fighting champion, and that is his current feud is with everyone because he's just proving that he is Monday Night Rollins.
Yes, that is a good point.
And I think, like, obviously, down the line you can build that in because you just need to have someone come close on the kind of open challenge thing, and then you can sort of snowball that into a story.
I get you. I just,
and also because he just comes out and he gets a good reaction all the time, which is something they desperately need, I think, on Raw especially.
Yeah, like someone who's organically connected with the crowd. I don't know. But this was a good match, especially with that Rollins hot tag, and Rollins beat Kevin Owens for the second time in a week, two episodes in a row, with the curb stomp and a nice finish as well. It was like Rollins went for the curb stomp, Owens reversed it, tried to reverse it into a pop-up powerbomb, didn't get that, and then another curb, like the actual successful curb stomp.
Yeah, so he jumped over the pop-up powerbomb, then he kicks him in the gut, knocked him down, and then went for the curb stomp. He rolled out of the way, and then he caught him with the second one, so he missed the first one, stamped the floor, and then still just got him.
Like trying to get that beetle.
Yeah, it was the whack-a-mole version of curb stomp.
So this ended with Reigns and Rollins celebrating at the top of the ramp. And this was pretty good, even though I don't like where the feud is going and the eventual match.
Mm.
I was genuinely surprised when Jinder Mahal did a run-in on his own match, kind of, and took out Rollins and Reigns with the steel chair. Because you just assume that Owens and Jinder, they were just beaten, they're still in the ring. But Jinder,
there was some sort of witchcraft there, wasn't there? Of like, I guess it happened in the break, didn't it? So there was finishing and then there was the break. And then we came out of the break with Rollins and Reigns in the centre of the ring rolling out and starting to walk up the ramp. And when they got to the top, that's when Jinder appeared. So maybe in the break, Jinder ran, like Owens and Jinder walked off, but I don't... It almost seemed like he'd done a whole loop of the... Yeah, he was just like...
Or there's two of him.
That's the other thing.
And Jinder Mahal can interfere on Jinder Mahal matches. I mean, that would make Vince very happy, I'm sure.
The modern day multi-Raja.
It was the multi... It was then announced that Reigns and Jinder will happen at Money in the Bank. We all knew it was happening, but it doesn't make it any less depressing when it's finally announced, does it? You're looking forward to that?
Absolutely not. I just don't think there's nothing interesting about watching those two do something. I don't think Reigns is versatile enough to get the best out of Jinder, who is like the opposite of versatile.
Sure. Yeah, because usually...
We've seen much better people have a go in the ring with Jinder and just about get something good.
Yeah.
But not great. So this, I just don't think this is going to go anywhere particularly.
Like, it took Randy Orton about 4 months to have a part. And these, like, people going, oh, that was a good match. And, like, no, it was an okay match, but it's just with all the ones beforehand. Randy Orton, it took 4 months. AJ Styles probably had Jinder's best match.
This was like when they were saying, the Orton thing is like saying, it was an okay match. It's like, yeah, but if you've had 5 months of it just being terrible, it's the same as when people are, like, going, like, oh, Donald Trump has been presidential, like, for the first time, like, 6 months into his presidency.
Yeah, yeah. Good, low bar.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I do get excited about Reigns' matches for in-ring stuff, because he does tend, particularly at the first half of last year, he had very good matches all the time. Mm. But I've never been excited about a Jinder match. Although I think he's come on leaps and bounds with his character.
I like Roman, but I don't like Roman matches.
Yes.
And that's the thing, is like, every time I watch him, I'm like, okay, I think you're really good. And I think you're undeserving of the amount of booze that you get, but you've been unfortunately forced into such a position.
Mm. Luckily, I guess Roman and Jinder together means they're not with other people.
Yeah, well, it could be one of those things where two negatives make a positive.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're very sciencey today.
I am.
With the cod liver oil.
Well, that's it. It's actually increased my brain power.
That's it.
So, omega-3 or something. Do they do that anymore? I don't know.
Omega-3 is a thing, and Omega-9 is another one that I've heard I should take.
Omega-9 is a manga.
Is it?
I don't know.
Omega-9.
It's a...
And so, yes, Bobby Lashley's sisters is what happened next.
The worst.
We have covered that already.
Hopefully that just is written out of history now.
I saw someone draw up a list of all the worst segments of the year.
Okay.
Winners, because this kind of started with the old days skit. Remember when Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson brought out three people dressed up as old New Day members? And that was really bad. And then
Big Cass and the little person the other week was
that
very...
That wasn't terrible. Like, it was bad, but actually it was kind of okay. I liked the structure of it, at least. But last year was Alexa Bliss and Bayley, This Is Your Life. So the common... Mm. But the common thing with all that and the little person as well, it's non-characters being brought in.
Just bringing in someone else. It's just weird because they're just other, like, enhancement talent, aren't they? They're all people who, because obviously there can't be anyone recognizable, so there can't be anyone who's particularly trained. They should just get some guys in the back who aren't jacked, but who are just there to do the talking bits. You know, that's like, that would be really
like Mike
good.
Mike Rome, backstage interviewer.
Yeah,
Dasher.
That would be fine. Yeah, just let's have some people there who can come on and talk when you need to have a talking segment.
Speaking of talking and how that doesn't even translate to top tier talent, Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey, they replayed that video package from the red carpet.
That was awkward, wasn't it? That was just I think you could, there are so many other people who could have this before me, but sure, I'll take a challenge. Like, my goodness, you're making me blush.
And there was no Charlotte in this one, who I thought was the worst thing about the original video packages. So,
was that like a separate thing they'd filmed, or
It was cut down,
or was that they just punched in on Charlotte's just there, but she's just off screen?
All on a green screen actually, and you can drop Charlotte into anything. Now.
Oh, that's cool.
That's how they do it.
They've done it like Shia LaBeouf, but with Charlotte.
Yeah, they save money that way because they don't have to pay people twice. Alexa Bliss took on Ember Moon yet. And this was... So this... You got to really appreciate the run of crap that's about to happen after that tag match. You get the Bobby Lish... The Bobby Lishley... Lishley segment.
The Bobby Leesley.
Then you get the replay of that Ronda Alexa Bliss bit. And then you get, like, a series of matches that we've seen at least four times in the last month already. And this match here, Alexa Bliss and Ember Moon, where in a backstage promo before the match, Alexa Bliss started talking about Visigoths and the Romans, and how...
Yeah, that was intense. That was...
It was out of nowhere for her character. Like, since when has she ever done anything history-based in a promo? And so specific as well. It was like... Because this is how I sometimes write. I'm sure you probably do as well. You'll start off with an idea and you'll be like, okay, so... That stuff last week was ancient history. How can I, like, develop that? And then you start going down that hole and you're like, that's good, I'm going to go with that. But there's no connection to the person who's reading that script and their character. So, yeah, Bliss talks about how last week's loss to Ember Moon is ancient history now. And it's just like the Visigoths and the Romans. The reasons the Visigoths...
Very famous.
Could defeat this Roman city was because they had the element of surprise. And that's what Ember Moon had last week. But I didn't get, like, that context. I was just like, why is Alexa Bliss talking about history?
Yeah, I feel like there must have been better examples of that were more fitting for her character as well. Just say she had the element of surprise. I don't feel like you needed to do a 10-minute history lesson about Visigoths just to be like, well, they beat the Romans this one time, and I am the Romans in this scenario, and she is the barbarian Visigoths.
Yeah, or like even say she's just like Nia Jax. She's just another bully. Because she attacked me from out of nowhere.
That's great.
Yeah. Like, well, she didn't attack her from out of nowhere, but I was caught unaware. Yeah. And then you could build it like that. I mean, again, do it better.
I get the idea. Like, I liked the idea that she was surprised because she didn't know who she was. That's fitting for her character. But then to go, I don't know who Ember Moon is, who works in my own company, but I'll tell you all about the Visigoths.
Yeah, good point. Those Visigoths. I mean, hopefully this is actually the foreshadowing of a call-up. Where you get a Visigoths tribe,
yes, yeah,
of NXT talent. That would be not very good either. So Alexa
Bliss, I guess, would form sort of a Roman army,
yeah,
and they'd come to the ring and do a phalanx. And
well, there's already a Roman Empire. Oh, that's what they're building up to take on Reigns.
This is it, yeah.
A whole roster of Visigoths. That'll get Roman over. So Alexa and Ember,
and then also Bobby Lashley's Cleopatra entrance would work well. Because it
with
fits
the
whole theme. Yeah, there's so many themes.
What have we done?
Go back. Go back to where we were.
I was surprised at how similar in height Ember Moon and Alexa Bliss are.
Hmm.
That's my big takeaway from this match.
Yeah, I feel like I've already sort of forgotten most of it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, that's the story. There was a lot of things
going on in that match as well. It was like too many little bits of shenanigans almost. There was... Mickie James tried to interfere with... She took her shoe off and then was going to, I guess, bonk Ember Moon with it.
It's like a heel.
Yeah,
it's
like, just
heel.
Stab her with it. And then the referee was like, go to the back! And she was like, okay. And then the whole finish happened within about 10 seconds of that. And I don't know, there was just lots of little bits of just like, why is any of this happening?
There was also Blit, because like, so Mickie James could sneak in, Bliss had pulled up the ring apron.
Oh yeah, so the referee had to go in and... clear up.
And the referee was so, like, he did it really slowly, putting it back in. I thought, this is lame. But then the referee just turned around anyway and saw Mickie James. It's like, well, okay, well, that's kind of saved it, but why has Mickie got her shoe off? And why is Alexa Bliss talking about Visigoths? I was already, you know when you, like, you fall out of love with a show, but you've still got to watch it for two more hours?
Yeah, that was...
And you notice all the faults. Yeah. I think Mickie James does often take off her shoes, in fairness to her. To do run-ins and bits.
Oh, okay, fine. Well,
but that's...
I guess that's the sort of... It's probably easier to run in without heels down a ramp.
Yeah.
Or that's like just health. That's just health and safety.
So Mickie James is ejected from ringside. Ember hits a total eclipse for the win, which is a cool move.
It is a really cool move.
I like that move. Then Stephanie McMahon is shown backstage in what was Kurt's office, but it's now been transformed into Vince's wake, like you said. Especially with the fruit basket.
Yeah, no, it was just like exactly. That was like someone had, you know, I don't know, like just off screen was one of the coffins that WWE always has lying around in case Undertaker decides he's having a match.
Empty.
He's not actually dead.
Sorry, I didn't know where you were going. And Finn Balor and Braun Strowman come in. And they're asking for a tag match because the previous week they had that pretty stonking bout against Drew McIntyre, getting people's names
Mr. McIntyre,
wrong.
That's not even his name.
And Dolph...
You almost called me a different name
I
earlier.
I know, it's weird. And Dolph Ziggler and Baron Strowman, like, we want another match at them. And Stephanie was like, no, you can have a match against each other instead, which is fine. But...
Finn looked like he had absolutely cacked his pants.
While smiling. So he managed to convey both emotions.
That's how good he is.
Yeah, at smiling.
That's why he can be a demon.
And yeah, he's got that duality.
Yeah.
And his character can just unlock it. And Braun, at the start of this segment, Stephanie's like, would anybody like anything from my fruit basket?
Braun, that was so good. I enjoy backstage segments with Braun because he just does... such silly little things. Like the bit where he was chasing everyone around backstage and he knocked everyone over and then he stops and that one guy is just holding the cake. Remember this? And he walks
up. I do remember
this.
And
he takes just a big handful of this cake and walks off eating it.
That's weird. You've changed your opinion on that, Luke.
Oh, well,
I remember
I
you hated that,
that
at
I
the time.
I liked that.
It's the
cod liver oil.
Yeah.
I'm a new man.
You're more forgiving about comedy moments with monsters. Because I love that bit too. I'm glad you've now come around to my way of thinking.
Well, it helped
Luke.
Him be the face, didn't it? I think at that point. So I enjoyed that. And this was also a similar thing. So she goes, does anyone want any fruit? And he goes, oh yes, I don't mind if I do. And takes some. And he doesn't eat it. He's just stood there holding it for the next 2 minutes of the segment.
It was Chekhov's apple. Because it's going to come back out, isn't it?
Mm. And then he's...
as a threatening apple crush.
Yes. And he says, well, I like challenge or...
Yeah, I like challenge. I like competition.
That was it.
And then I don't know why this irked me because I was just picking up on everything that little bits. Later on, Coachman said, because Braun loves competition. I said, Braun would never say love.
Mm.
He likes competition. That's by the by.
But, I mean, Coach also said... At one point, after we'd seen Stephanie say in the first bit that she was going to preside over the contract signing, Coach also said, I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of Stephanie McMahon tonight.
Yeah. Well, that was true.
She said she's on the card.
She was in so many backstage segments as well, it felt like. So much Stephanie. Like, within a week of being back, all of the Stephanie.
She's got admin, man.
Yes.
She's been away for a while.
Things to book. So after this, we got Baron Corbin beating No Way Jose. I don't like No Way Jose's act. It annoys me. I get the reason it's there, but personally, I find it very grating.
It's just another one of those ones that's just an entrance, isn't it? It's just an entrance and nothing else, really. And I don't even think it's that good an entrance. It's
great.
I don't know. Because no one in the conga line knows how to do a conga, for one. Like...
They're His letting music, go of each other a lot.
Yeah, they're letting go. They're not kicking out enough. Like, you've got to sell the conga line.
And it's just a pale imitation of Adam Rose. I don't know why Adam Rose's was so much fun.
I think they had a few bits with that. They always had bits with Adam Rose's. Yeah. So in the Rumble where he's thrown out. Oh, no, Kofi gets thrown out onto his guys and stuff. So it was always kind of convenient that Adam Rose's guys were around.
So you want to see more conga line booking within the actual matches?
Yeah, I would like
matches.
To see... Because they just go away, don't they? They go to the back after he's come out. So.
Or sometimes stand there just weirdly watching. Like they have no life outside of No Way Jose.
What you can't see is they're muttering incantations under their breath.
Oh, just help us.
Yeah, that's it.
We've been bound with him forever.
All we can hear is No Way.
My feet are blurred.
My feet are bleeding.
I've been conga lining for 3 days.
They've been cursed with the spell of dance.
The red shoes, yeah. The only bit that I've written down of notes here, so Baron Corbin won. I like, he's definitely got more upside. I like Baron Corbin.
It's like
Corey
Corbin,
Graves saying on commentary, not many people on this flat earth can say they get along with Baron Corbin. And it was just a drop in of Corey trolling us. I thought it was a nice thing. Oh, so we're going to get some heat from the flat earthers now, because they're actually a thing still. Kurt Angle's backstage next.
He is.
And he doesn't have his office because Stephanie has taken it.
So he's just trying to get cell phone reception in the arena.
That's what he's not concerned about running the show.
No.
He just wants to...
But he's standing still, just doing this, as if... Where's the logic to what you're doing? He'd go outside, wouldn't he?
Where's the science?
He would go, where's the science, man? He'd go outside. That's cod what I'm, I'm telling you.
Rub it in cod liver oil.
Rub it in cod liver oil, and suddenly it's a computer.
They are computers
anyway.
You mean like an old CRT monitor? Just rub it and
It's HAL from 2001.
So Kurt Angle was approached by Chad Gable, and they had a little chat. And Kurt revealed that last week when he said he found someone to go in the main event to replace Jinder, which ended up being Kevin Owens, Kurt was actually saying to Stephanie on the phone he wanted it to be Chad Gable.
Oh, little Chadders.
Yeah, which would have been awesome. But that obviously didn't happen. But Chad Gable's like, I'll fight for your honour. Being that, like, he is such a better son than Jason Jordan for Kurt.
Yeah.
I feel like they're just slowly dropping that. and they're just going to pretend it was Chad all along.
You think?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I mean, the best thing they could do is drop it altogether.
Yeah.
So,
because he could be the prodigal son rather than the improbable prodigal son.
Nicely done. Or you get that Jordan faked the DNA results to get a push and go ahead.
Oh.
But, you know,
that'd be some heel heat.
It's also,
especially if you upset Kurt Angle.
It's also rubbish, that story. It makes sense, but it's...
Yeah, I think let's rubbish. Just have him come back and somehow he's forgotten his lineage entirely. His injury was so severe that they had to give him a new personality.
The shoulder... No, it was a neck injury. It somehow wiped his memory.
That's it. That's
Perfect.
So
Dolph McIntyre... Oh, that's not his name. Drew McIntyre. Dolph McIntyre. McIndolph.
Drew Ziggler.
Drew Ziggler.
Ziggintyre.
Come in and they just start being like, what's so special about you, chatty mate? And that books a match for later on. The B team come out. What are your thoughts on the B team?
I don't know, really. I've not quite made my mind up yet. I enjoyed the sort of them trying to start tag teams with people.
Yeah.
I liked that kind of angle. I think that's a good way to put some jobbers in matches with people.
And it works quite nicely.
But now they found their own. I like the making the t-shirts. I think that's quite funny.
Did you see that weirdly placed shot of the two people front row in the barricade when they made their entrance with the B team t-shirts?
No. I saw a guy holding a B team sign.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe it was at the end. I think there was they'd thrown their t-shirts at two guys or something and they put them on. But
I feel like they're trying to make merch happen. As someone who has tried to make merch happen.
Hashtag make merch happen.
Yeah, make it happen. I felt like this was WWE awkwardly holding on a shot so it would get over organically.
Mm. But it was a weird match, though, because it was Breezango came out to face them and didn't really hit any offense at all. Fandango did a lot of pelvic floor and then just got hit with a sort of backdrop neckbreaker,
yes,
doodad.
Yeah, reverse 3D, whatever
yes,
you want to call
yeah.
it.
And then they got the pin, and then they celebrated for ages.
Like, which I like.
I liked the riding the chair down the ramp. That was quite fun. They stole coach's chair and rode it down the ramp, and spilled over onto the floor, jumped on the announce desk, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's fun to watch. But
I like this site. It's just mid card, or not even that. It's undercard comedy fodder. It's just a shame. I'm worried that it's going to be booked against Breezango forever now. Because
well, who else is there? Yeah, like who else is there to be? Like, you know, you could do the Ascension still on Raw.
Yes, are they? I think so. Yeah. I think they moved with Breezango.
Yeah.
You've got Authors of Pain, who are now relegated to main event. The Revival. The Revival are still there.
As far as... haven't they gone back to NXT? Was that not the rumour?
They did some dates, but I think that was just because of everyone else went on the European tour.
Ah, okay.
And they stayed in the States. So, yeah, this was...
I wouldn't want to see the Revival lose to the B team. That would just kill them dead.
Next up, we had the Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax contract signing, which Luke just said, you're going to narrate in full, right? In the Ronda voice.
No, actually.
That wasn't what you just told me?
No, nothing happens. What do you mean... I just told you, nothing happens off the air. We just sit in silence.
So Stephanie McMahon sort of emceed this segment.
Mm.
And she... This was where I felt like, okay, I'm already sick of Stephanie, and she just came back. And Nia Jax comes down, and they hug, and Ronda Rousey comes down, and it's kind of like a tense moment, and Ronda says some stuff.
Well, she says, she comes, hi, Steph. How's your arm?
Yeah, and Stephanie's like, well, it's fine, actually.
So, yeah, Stephanie's like, yes, it's absolutely fine.
Yeah, rehabbed it. It's actually pretty limber now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sell that at all for you. And they do the usual sit down over a table, and Stephanie just does the, have you heard what Ronda Rousey probably thinks of you, Nia?
She's stirring the pot.
Yes. But the stuff that she was saying to make Ronda angry with Nia, which was, you know, Ronda's undeserving of a shot...
Nia's just using you to get over, basically, wasn't it? Like, fine, I guess. Like, is that not the point?
That she was easy pickings, right? Because this is Ronda's first singles match, and Nia can easily beat. Yeah, but then Stephanie went over to the other side and was like, "Oh, Nia, you are. You know, Ronda thinks you're lazy."
Yeah,
and I was like, "No one's. That's never been a thing." Why are you trying to get over laziness?
Well, it's because what they didn't want to say, I think, was fat.
Ah, yes.
What they were the word that everyone
we're
was done.
Bleep that. Can't say the F.
No, can't say it. No. Thick with two C's.
Yes, that's the appropriate way now.
She was thick.
Curvy.
Yeah, she's a full-bodied woman. Mm. And I feel like they were really dancing around ever mentioning that. Apart from they said like, no, it's bigger. She's stronger. She's da 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 and. I don't know who that was meant to rile up particularly. Like it was kind of a thinly veiled jibe at Naya's weight.
Oh, do you think?
Like because it was being said over Naya's shoulder as if it was riling Naya.
Oh, you know, yes, like, of course, yes.
It was saying, you know, you're bigger, you're stronger than
that. I get you. So they then both sign the contract. Ronda moves the table aside, and they have the stare down. And that's where she says,
"I'm going to take your title." And I'm doing the wrong voice.
Yeah, that was
I'll
a different voice.
I'm just chucking voices.
It was a more like I would describe it as sex line voice.
Okay. I'm going to take your title and your arm. And then she just really intense. They just intensely stared down for ages.
Well, it's a shame they've dropped the pointing stuff, right? Because Ronda should then point at the arm. Just like with all the ferocity that she did for the WrestleMania sign. Point at the arm, point at the title. Stephanie's like, whoa, what's happening? Point at Stephanie.
And then when the match finally happens, and if she does get her in the armbar, I hope that they do the sort of anime snap. So they actually cut away to it on a red, entirely red screen, and you just hear
the two things I've got to say about you and the cod liver oil, you are way more into anime.
Yeah.
And science. I remember you being.
This is what happens.
So, yeah, that was, I mean, this was kind of like the main event of the show. Because you know how they place it at the end of the second hour, and then the third hour is just not anything of substance. As a main event bit, I thought this was pretty weak.
Yeah, I don't think it really did. They've not managed to really build any excitement for this match. And we haven't seen enough of Ronda to be really that, like, I was excited about her after WrestleMania, but for a month and a half, we've just seen her sort of come out and stuff. People have seen her in live events. But yeah, we've not seen her do anything. The one thing I did think about this, actually, and this probably goes into something a little bit later, is the whole thing with Natalya and Ronda Rousey. That's interesting. Let's bring that up again later. Let's not do it right now.
Well, what we can do is we can just say Dolph Ziggler beat Chad Gable in a really decent amateur wrestling 2-minute match. You know, as good a match you can have in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I like both of them.
Yeah.
I think both of them are highly underutilized. I'm enjoying the fact that we get to see a bit more Dolph being dominant because he's got big old Drew in his corner who... Also, I just think Drew just did good work of just brooding at the side of the ring, got on the apron a couple of times when he thought things were going wrong and was like, oh, I'm really cross, and then came in and absolutely kicked Chad Gable's head off.
Claymore
is such a good move.
Then we had that Natalya match.
Yes.
Which kind of builds into that. So this was Natalya beating Dana Brooke, Sarah Logan, and Liv Morgan. Four great workers there in a Money in the Bank qualifier, and this was mainly taken up by Coachman at the start of the match saying, oh, this is a bit unfair. Natalya and Dana Brooke are really at a disadvantage against the Riot Squad here. And Corey Graves pointed out, what are you talking about? It's 2-on-2. And I guess you can make the argument that Coachman was trying to make that the Riot Squad can gang up on.
Yeah. Them. Well, he said it was, no, it's not. It's 2-on-1-on-1. Yeah.
It's a Terry Venables Christmas tree. It just didn't work. So that was, the commentators just made their own fun after that and talked amongst themselves. And Sarah Logan and Liv Morgan did do a breakup tease.
Oh, I quite enjoyed that bit. That was quite good. That was like, I liked the, you know, but the commentators no-sold that. So that happened. They paused in the middle of the ring. They've thrown the other two out. They were the only ones in the ring. There was a bit of like, will they, won't they, will they, won't they? And then they both look up at the Money in the Bank contracts and they look down at each other and you think, this is it. This is the moment they're going to fight. And they both just go, nah. And then they run out and get someone else and start beating them up again, which I liked. But the commentators went, what was that? It's like, that was obvious what that was. I thought that was maybe not as dramatic as you could have made it, but it was fairly obvious what was happening.
Yeah. It's a... Yeah, I liked that bit as well, but the commentators did undersell it. So this all ended with Natalia tapping out Sarah Morgan? No, that's not a person.
Logan.
Sarah Logan, yeah. I think.
I think it was Logan, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Liv was thrown outside, she was on the floor.
Yeah, because I've written down in my notes all the spots that were actually Logan, I've written Morgan. Because I've written Morgan was really good. No way was that Liv Morgan. It was Sarah Logan
who
was good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Morgan and Brooke collided on the outside and both went down and were just rolling around for a while. And then Logan comes in.
Tussling.
Gets... No, they weren't tussling. They were just hurt.
Hard falling over outside.
And then Logan gets back in and gets sharpshootered.
And then Natalia had a post-match promo where she put over Ronda Rousey.
Yes, mostly. She said, I've got the advantage. She was saying, I've got the advantage in the Money in the Bank match because I'm a training partner with Ronda Rousey.
Yes.
I feel like they're really leaning into the friends angle here, which my hot take is that Natalia does win the Money in the Bank. Rousey does win the title, and Natalia cashes in on Rousey.
Immediately. That night, yeah.
So I think Rousey helps Natalia to win the contract. Rousey wins the title, and Natalia cashes in on her on the same night.
And then Natalia sides with Stephanie McMahon, and you get that. I haven't really thought about that. I've just been quite upset, not obsessed, but focused on Stephanie teaming with Nia.
Mm.
And that's the route you go in Stephanie. But yeah, I guess. Or do you save Natalia and her turn on Ronda for something further down the line?
Well, yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah. But you're right. If Natalia does win Money in the Bank, I feel like that
sort of stops the people being kind of annoyed that Ronda's won the title on her second match.
Mm.
You know, like I just feel like you cut that off at the pass, and then you can do a bit more like she tears through the women's division for a while, and then she wins the title back in a sort of redemption story.
Yeah, it's I like that a lot better, but it's just still, why would you give away the title win like that?
Mm.
It's like when Brian, I know it tied into a larger story.
It's a moment.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's moments rather than long-term planning. Next up, we had Elias.
Love him.
Brilliant pre-match performance here, where he was talking about the news that WWE's share prices have gone through the roof because SmackDown will be moving to Fox, Alicia Fox, for an enormous amount of money in the middle of next year. And
it's a Friday as well, apparently.
Yeah. It's going to really screw the Wrestle Ramble.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not coming in on a Saturday.
You need to start recording. Start doing it on phones.
Just
do it ahead of time, speculatively.
Yeah, just really predict stuff. Well, if it's a tape show, I'm sorted.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm sure there's a way around it. So Elias talks about, he gets the crowd chanting, I love Elias. Or we love Elias. And then he says, that's really nice to hear, thank you. I mean, I don't love any of you.
That's so good.
And I was at the Eiffel Tower last week, and that was so much more impressive than anything you've got here.
Just really good.
Yeah.
He's just a lot of fun.
But unfortunately, where Elias falls down is the matches.
Yes.
Which is fine. I don't hate his in-ring work. It's just not super engaging. And when it's with Bobby Roode, who we've seen four times now since WrestleMania, this Roode Elias match. Yeah, I'm a bit over it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Roode also falls into that category of being quite linear in the kind of stuff that he does. He's got some big moves. I think he's sort of an old school methodical worker, and I think Elias is too in that, but less good.
Yeah,
and it just means that they're always just really slow and kind of unexciting. There's no one there doing something crazy. I'm not saying you need a Seth Rollins, but if you chuck a Seth Rollins in there, he's at least running around all over the place while the other person then works them over for a bit, you know.
Or Drew McIntyre can be cross.
Yeah,
that would be another way to make a match engaging.
More
presence. It's fine to have as a one-off here and there. You can have those kinds of matches, but this is like the fourth time in 5 weeks.
But it's not a feud either, is it, really? It's just Roode comes out and he interrupts Elias, but was there any Yeah. Was it where we told her that was a booking? Like,
there was a moment where Rude injured his neck, but then that was completely dropped by the third encounter the following week.
Mm.
So Rude, additionally to all of this, Elias won, and Bobby Rude is the one going to Money in the Bank. So I just thought, why do that?
It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't. It's just one of those things where, like, obviously, I think in their head the logic was that, you know, like, Rude can take a loss because he's going to Money in the Bank, and that's kind of the thing that he's doing now. That's his story. Whereas Elias probably needs a win to just stay relevant, even though obviously his actual relevancy is entirely in those guitar-based bits at the beginning.
Yeah, that's perfect.
He's the carnival. He's that. That's the bit.
But with that, like, those criticisms, the ending of this whole segment, so Elias is walking up the ramp after he's won, he's celebrating, got the guitar over the shoulder, Braun's music hits. That should have been a warning sign for Elias.
Yeah, he didn't react quick enough there, did he?
Hightail it out of there. But he just stood there while Braun walked in and just ran over.
Yeah, he gets absolutely KO'd. KO!
It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was really good.
That happened, I was like, you know what, I don't even care.
It must be like being hit by like a freight train.
That turned into the Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor match, which when this match finished, I was like, oh, that was the end of the show. Mm. But not like a, boy, that flew by quick, that was an inconsequential third hour.
Mm.
But the match itself, so the first half of the match was Strowman working over Balor, which was a bit tedious considering the hour and a half of boring stuff we'd had beforehand. But as soon as Balor starts to come back, and it was specifically this brilliant spot where Balor's on the outside, Strowman gets out on the other side of the ring, kind of does his winding up the crowd motion, and he starts to charge and pick up steam, and he runs round the other side like he's done to Kevin Owens so many weeks, and he goes for the shoulder charge on Balor, but Balor turns it into a sling blade.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Really good
spot. And then Balor hits a bunch of stomps.
Oh, yes.
And then what they said, like, it's what I don't understand is, why is it a coup de grace sometimes and other times it's just some stomps?
Yeah. So, yeah, because he hit one off the turnbuckle, off the apron onto
Braun's
back,
knocking him down, and then he goes over the barricade and jumps off the barricade and lands one on Strowman on the floor.
This is my problem with Tanahashi in New Japan. And everyone's like, high fly flow, high fly flow. And it's like, which one is the high fly flow?
Mm.
Because he does one to the back to set up the one to the front. And there's like, he always hits one from the top turnbuckle to the outside. I'm like, well, why is that not more impactful than the one in the ring? And that's like just a spot in the match. But I don't want to get that Tanahashi heat. People love that guy because he's amazing. But yes, there was, after one of those spots, when Braun Strowman is sent tumbling over the barricade, there was this awesome visual of Balor, like, with his back to Braun, big mistake,
but catching his breath
and kind of psyching himself up, and then Braun just rises from behind him. Really good. And then Strowman gets in at 7 after a near countout spot, and 2 power slams for the win. I felt like that was a show of respect from Strowman. Like, I'm not going to pin you in one power slam, I'm gonna make sure I put you away with 2. And then rather than continuing,
but earlier hadn't he not, as one of his pins, actually, earlier as one of his pins, had he not put his foot on Balor as a pin?
Oh, what, like
I think he did, like, he did, oh, not, okay. I'm not saying like the full Jericho, but he just put his foot on as a pin at one point, so he wasn't being particularly respectful during the match, but then towards the end I think he gained respect. Because the ending was fairly, like...
Because Braun likes competition.
He does, indeed.
And at that point, he was dominating Finn. Finn proved himself in the match.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah. So rather than continuing to put the power slams on Balor afterwards, which is what seemed to be was going to happen, Braun just puts Finn in the corner and props him up there and kind of gives him a nod as he walks off.
Yeah, and does his celebration.
Yeah.
I like that because they did sell it like he was going to slam him as well, because he picked him up in the pose. Crowd were doing the classic chant, like, you know, the one that's one more time. And then he just places him gingerly in the corner.
Mm. So a good start to Raw. I personally enjoyed it.
Mm.
And a really good match at the end. I'd probably, you know what, one of Strowman's best ever matches. That
it was really good. And I actually, when they made the match in the middle, when we saw that little Kurt Angle, the Stephanie McMahon segment, I was like, nah, I'm not into this. And then by the end of it, I was actually like, do you know what? That's fine. I'm still... bit of me's a bit sore that Finn lost, and I'm bored of watching him lose now.
Yes.
Because he keeps sort of gaining some momentum, and then they go like, oh, it's just... you're just going to fight a massive man now. And every time it's just a massive dude that stops his momentum for no reason. And he managed at least to come out of this looking pretty strong. And maybe it sets up something at Money in the Bank where he can pull it out of the bag.
Yeah, because Balor is in the Money in the Bank.
So Balor is, as is Strowman. And at the end of the show, they said that Strowman is the one to look out for in the Money in the Bank match. He's surely going to be the winner. The commentators even did the thing like, you know, he barely needs a ladder. Kind of like, he can get halfway up and he can get the...
And just go on tiptoes.
Yeah, exactly.
A little hop.
Yeah.
So that is Raw in the Bag. What would you give it out of five?
Would I give it out of five?
I gave it 2 out of 5.
I think that's kind of fair. Mm. I don't think 2 good matches makes up for the rest of the show being, you know.
Well, particularly that Bobby Lashley segment. Like that.
That dragged everything down so badly.
It's a testament to this last match in the first hour that this is not a bore show, but just purely because of that Lashley segment, which was awful.
It wasn't over in the room. I don't know why they just didn't stop. Like, I feel like you could have just... they should have been saying to Lashley while he was in the back, as Sammy's doing this thing and looking bored and no one in the crowd is into it and everyone hates it, just go out there and maul them. Like, just go and maul them, because we're not going to get... if you talk, you've it's dead.
If you
and
smile,
you're dead on arrival. Like, just go out there, look mean, maul them.
Yeah, I mean, that would... yeah, they should have done that. But I think as simple as Sami Zayn just being halfway through his bit and going, you know what, guys, this is really bad, so we're just going to... just, sorry, breaking the fourth wall a bit here.
Yeah, if Sami Zayn becomes the Deadpool of WWE, I'd watch that.
I've never thought about a Deadpool-style character in wrestling. That's pretty decent. I mean, like, you know, Jim Cornette might have an aneurysm if that was to become a thing on WWE. But anyway, that's all we've got time for today's show. What did you... how did you feel it with your new cod liver oil energy?
Yeah, good. I was catching vibes. It was great.
Nice. So please click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk videos. Subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with all the latest backstage professional news. And of course, subscribe to the podcast version of the Wrestle Ramble, which for the next 2 weeks won't have any exclusive intro and outros because I'm too lazy to edit them. I've been Ollie Davis. This has been Luke Owen. And that was Rambling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.